We're grateful that you're here today. And Thomas Nelson, we really extend our sympathy to you and your death of your brother. Bless your heart. We have had so many deaths, haven't we? Affecting our folks here. And we want to remember each other and let's encourage one another. I know when I was over in Rushway, I had two funerals on Friday. And people just realize how brief life really is. But what a joy it is to be able to serve and sing and pray and do the will of the Lord here. And when Jerry was coming up a while ago and whispering to me, I said, uh-oh, I must have failed to do something right with regards to my overhead. He has been such a joy to work with and helped me in every way. And he found it, and I'm sure glad of that, Jerry. And I want you to know how much I appreciate you. Last night was a wonderful night. I stood up there and cried about half the time, I think. That song, Exalted, it just got close to me, I tell you. And all with so many. And just as I am, I never heard that. I really like that. How broken the very middle of it. We love to sing, don't we? Because we're going to a place someday where we'll be singing in eternity. Can you imagine that, Buzz? Being able to sing. Being able to sing with the host of the heaven and being able to praise the Lord. Let me tell you, sir, I think we need to be revived again, don't you? And we need to be stirred up again. And we need to be reminded that it's well worth it to get out in 10-degree or 15-degree weather, put on our clothes, etc., and be rejoicing that we can come together and we can sing praises unto our God, and we can worship the God above. In Nehemiah chapter 8, the Bible says they read in the book and the law of God distinctly. And they gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Back a few verses, here the children of God are asking to have the Word of God read to them. And when the Word of God was read, they stood up. And then from the very beginning of the sunlight, probably around 6 o'clock in the morning to midday, they stood there and they were listening and talking about the Word of God. What brings about a revival? What would cause all of us to be revived again? The Bible says they read the book of the law distinctly. They gave the sense, caused them to understand the reading. Nehemiah, which is the Tirzah, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law, because they knew they had transgressed. They failed God. Then he said to them, go your way and eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day, today, is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. God now says, it's time for you to rejoice. It's time for you to be thankful. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. What did they do? Number one, they asked for the Word of God to be spoken to them. They wanted to hear the Word of God. If I suggested next Saturday morning at 10 o'clock that we meet here at the building and that we just read the Word of God, wonder how many people would be here. I hope we'd have a lot of folks that could come. These people wanted to hear. Friend, if they hadn't heard and they hadn't been paying attention to God, now they want to hear the Word of God. And notice what the Bible says. They read in the book of the law and the law of God distinctly. And look that word up. The synonyms are decidedly, definitely, in a way that is readily distinguishable by the senses, clearly reading each word slowly and distinctly because it is the Word of God. Hebrews 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, you preach the word of God. And the Bible tells us, study to show thyself approved unto God. Study what? Study the word of God. You find where Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life eternal, and they which testify of me. But you would not come unto me that you might have life. By the word of God. Remember in John 12, 48? Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. You study it, you teach it, you search it, you reflect upon it. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. They read, and they read the Word, and they read the Word of God distinctly. They wanted to know what God's Word said. Number two, and then they were given the sense of the Word. It was explained unto them what is meant. And when I go to the Word of God and I find the man that was asked by Philip in Acts 8, verses 30 and 31, where Philip said to the eunuch, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? Yes, give the sense of it. No wonder in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, whatsoever things are written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope, that one hope of what Paul said in Ephesians 4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. When people turn to the Word and they look at it carefully, and they want to know the Word of God, and then ask, what does that really mean? It's like the people at Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. When the Bible tells us that Paul asked them, unto what were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. And then you remember how they were told that when Christ came, he was the one to be received. And they did what? Then they were baptized into Jesus Christ. Acts 19. They now understood. The application's been made. And I suggest to you that when these people had the Word of God read distinctly and explained to them, as the Bible tells us, they now have an application. And they were caused to understand what it really means, that it is, you've got to act upon it. They read the book of the law of God carefully, distinctly. They explained it so all could understand. And they made the application of that law to them. Now then, they're told, you do it. You want a revival? Read carefully. Let that apply to you. Let it apply to me. Let it apply to situations in our own lives. Read it. Look at it very carefully. Once we learn it, once we've understood it, then let's do it. Let's make the application. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus talked about five wise and five foolish. Parable. Why did he use a parable? He wanted those people to understand it. He wanted those people then to apply it. When I turn to the book of God in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, why did Jesus talk about a broad way and a narrow way? Jesus said, enter ye at the straight gate. For wide is the way, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in there, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few, whoa, stop there. And few there be that find it. Lord, what do you mean? What's our understanding of that? there's only going to be few people in comparison to the multitude of folks that's going to be able to enjoy heaven. Why? They hadn't read the Word of God distinctly. They haven't listened to it carefully, even though it may have been explained to them. And now they're walking in that broad way, and it comes to an end. Herschel Henry preached his funeral Friday afternoon. That man, I just couldn't tell you enough about him. He was such a tremendously good Christian. He would come and told me one day, he said, "Guy," he said, I call your name in prayer every day and ask God to help you to keep preaching. I'm going to miss that. I told him and his wife. But he was a man. He was sick for maybe like, 2.5 months. Not real, real bad at first. And I was told that he did not miss a single service, even when he was really down, except on Christmas Day and New Year's Day. He died Tuesday at 7 a.m. He was a big Ford man. He'd loved his Ford. He'd worked for Ford Motor Company. Boy, he just thought you ought to drive a Ford. And when I went down to the meeting in October, he saw me and I was driving a Toyota Camry. And he had a fit, I tell you what. And I told him then, I said, but now I do have an old van. It's a Ford Windstar. So that kind of compensated a little bit for it. But he was a man that would share. They would take people and they would go and carry folks food. He and his wife, they just so much they were doing in the cause of Christ. We need more people like Herschel Henry. We need to be more like that. And that's why Jesus tells us about the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. In verses 26 through 37, I want to be more like him, don't you? A man that took care of somebody that was hurt. A man that shared. I'm suggesting you, my friends, whenever we read the Word of God distinctly and we understand what it says, then we need to make the application, number one, to us. There was a preacher that I read this about. His name was John Wesley. He was a great English preacher back in the 1700s. And he was considered a rather spiffy dresser. And one Sunday morning he wore a bow tie. And I understand some of those bow ties are coming back. I got to dig up mine too and see about that. I don't know about you. But anyway, and he had long ribbons that hung downward. And after the sermon was over, a lady walked up to him and said, "Brother Wesley, are you open to some criticism?" And he said, "I guess so. What would you like to criticize?" "Well," she said, "the ribbons on your tie are entirely too long and inappropriate for a man of God." And she took out her scissors and cut them off. A hush fell over the people standing there as Wesley calmly asked, "Now may I borrow the scissors for a moment?" As she handed them to him, he said, "Ma'am, are you open to some criticism?" And she answered, "Well, I suppose I am." And he said, "All right then, please stick out your tongue." I thought I'd die when I read that. Oh, we speak out sometimes when we shouldn't. Lord, wake us up. Lord, reach out. Let us reach out. Lord, help us to keep plowing. Luke 9, verse 62. "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Don't give up. Lord, keep our goals before us. And remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. He said, "I buffet my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." Or when Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, "I am now ready to be offered in the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. We need a revival. People need to speak up the truth. We all need to stand up for Jesus. The Jewish Sanhedrin imprisoned Peter and John and commanded them, "You're no longer to speak in the name of Jesus." But what did they say? Acts 4 and verse 24, they said, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." People were excited about the spreading of the gospel. And even though they were told not to do it, they still did it. In Acts 8 and verse 4, the Bible said, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." They were doing something. And people were hearing the word of God. Aren't you glad that our folks here at O'Neill are concerned about giving? And our elders are helping to support all of us men at different places. Places where the gospel can be preached and taught. And hopefully we can hear good things about people turning to the Lord. The Bible tells us in Acts 17 and verse 6, "They found them not. They drew Jason and certain brethren to the rulers of the city. They were crying about these people. They were talking about Paul and the others, and look what they said about them. These people who were opposed to Paul, these that have turned the world upside down, are come thither also." Disciples of God were so busy that others were calling what they were doing turning the world upside down. Can't read that, can you? Acts 19, verse 11. The whole thing is talking about the fact that the name of Jesus was magnified. When people were using all kinds of books of magic, and when the apostle comes and he preaches at Ephesus, guess what happened? The Bible tells us, "And thus this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds." But look what they did. They had the Word of God preached to them. They had the application made. And now, many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. What did they do with the books of magic? They burned them. How much were they worth? 50,000 pieces of silver. Will the day come when people want to burn our Bibles because they don't like what they say? I pray they're not. I want to suggest to you, my friend, yes, revive us again and let us stand mightily in the work of the Lord. And so the Bible said, so mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. Turn away from idolatry to the living God and look at the idolatry that we have. And look at what a fantastic opportunity to turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ. Yes, revive us again, Lord. Help us to listen to God's Word. Open up that book. Study it. Read it every day of your life. I love to see people studying the Word of God. Does God see us in our private time? Are we willing to open up and read and search the Word of the Lord? Help us to understand what God says. Help us, Lord, to be moved to action once we understand what You want us to do. Yes, let's make the Bible the number one book that's sold, that's read, that's studied, that's lived by, and its teaching demonstrated in the lives of all of us who are Christians. Lord, revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. God, revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit of life, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all of our sins and has cleansed every stain. Revive us again. Fill each heart with Thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Revive us, O Lord, again. You're here this morning, not a Christian? Then why not this morning obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? The power that God says when the gospel is preached and you believe and you obey it, that it can lead you to salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We're in 2017. It's time to wake up. It's time for us to be revived. It's time for us to do all we can to bring others that are lost to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. If you've never become a Christian, won't you become one today? Can you imagine what it would be like if this would be your last service on this earth? I don't know how many people I've met just in the last several months that was true with them. I don't know if I preach to, and then the next week, something happens to them. Maybe get killed or die. You see, death is the end as far as this world is concerned. But we look at life. We're thankful for life. We rejoice that God has given us life. But what will we do with life? I hope and pray that God will help us all to do all we can to serve Him and lead others to Jesus Christ. If you're a child of God and you're not faithful to the Lord this day, we beg you to revive yourself again. Come to Jesus. Acknowledge the error of your way. Ask God to forgive you and let us pray with you and for you. Won't you come while together we stand and while we